Good evening. Grateful to be on the line with you this evening. Worship our Father and God in spirit and in truth. I'm always grateful to God for the opportunity he gives me to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful to the men who have served so far in the Lord's worship service. And I hope and pray that someone on the line this evening will receive the hope and comfort of the scriptures that they need to move forward in their work for the Lord. Again, I'm grateful to Brother Strauss and Brother Brooks for the invitation to speak to you this evening. I want to speak from the subject, Converting Souls Matter. Converting souls matter. Now, as Christians, converting souls is our duty. It is what we profess. We are servants in the kingdom of God. And when we see souls being converted through the examples of the scriptures, we get excited. We begin to see God working. And I know that there are many distractions out there today that might make us think that it is harder to reach lost souls. You know, the elections, COVID-19, unemployment, a divided nation. But let us not forget just how the church in the first century succeeded. Remember how they grew. And they too lived in busy times where people worked hard just to get by. They too had countless distractions to keep them from reaching out to people and organizing to save lost souls. In our text this evening, the Apostle Paul and Silas were able to plant churches of Christ all over the Roman Empire. Well, how did they do that? Well, let us read about one occasion. Acts chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. Now, when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, who I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a great multitude of God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And coming up on the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. And when they did not find them, they begged and ragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them." And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. And they stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, along with another number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of the Lord had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there likewise, agitating and stirring up the crowds. And then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Now in our reading, I want us to notice the first place Paul and Silas went to. Paul always tried to begin by finding a synagogue that would be filled with God-fearing people, those who trusted in the scriptures. It would be easier to convert them. And we too this evening, as we move forward on the battlefield for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should start with God-fearing people, those who trust the scriptures. And I'm sure that many faithful members on the line this evening are doing exactly that, inviting those who trust what the Bible has to say so that we can do our best to get those who are not members of the Church of Christ to hear God's truth about the one church, encouraging many to come on the conference calls, especially during this pandemic. Amen. Now, after Paul found those God-fearing people, those who trusted the Bible, those who trusted the scriptures, he would then begin teaching from the scriptures. See, they all trusted the scriptures, and so they would teach them about Jesus. And we must teach people about Jesus, teach people about his life, his love, his gentleness, his courage and sacrifice on the cross for the whole world. See, now this was Paul's custom. The scripture says they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus who I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." In other words, for us this evening, our purpose in this life has come down to saving souls. We must first practice finding people that trust in the Bible. That's what Paul did. People that are searching for the truth. We must work together to save souls this evening. We must teach one another the strategies of the early church. Well, now, how do we convert souls? First, we need to find people who are close. See, it was Paul's custom. And if you follow the ministry of Paul, he almost always planted churches beginning with devout Jews or God-fearing Jews. Why? Because they already believed in God. They already trusted in the scriptures. They were close to being what God wanted them to be. But they still needed to know Jesus. They still needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ for their salvation. See, they were close to the kingdom of Christ. They had the passion for God, but not the gospel of Christ. Paul told his brother in Romans 10, 1 through 3, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. See, Paul's Jewish brethren, they feared God, but they did not have the gospel truth. Paul says, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they do not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. See, now this is a good lesson for us this evening. See, when we think about reaching out to our community, see, it never hurts to start with people who already believe in God and trust in the scriptures. See, when people who trust the Bible and hear the plain, clear word of God, they will listen and respond. And we know if this coronavirus, it is dangerous to sit up Bible classes, the Bible studies face to face with this virus going on. But we can set up studies by phone. Yes, God has set it up for us to convert lost souls virtually. Amen. See, there is a door of opportunity open for us right now to evangelize, to teach those who are willing to listen. You know, we can make a list of those we know who love the scriptures, those who are searching for truth, and they will listen and respond. And that is exactly what took place in Berea. When they searched the scriptures and they found that Paul was teaching the truth. And so first, we need to find people who are close to being converted. Now, secondly, we must point people to the scripture. See, Paul and Silas found people in the synagogue there in Berea who were eager to learn. They were searching for God. Jesus said in John 5:40, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. You see, the Bereans, they wasn't gullible. In other words, they didn't just swallow up whatever was thrown at them. They got out their Bibles, if you will, and began to carefully search everything Paul and Silas taught them. But this is what made them so noble. And this is what makes us so noble this evening. They did not just take Paul at his word. They studied the scriptures to see what was true and what was not. And this is an important lesson for us even this evening. We must keep in mind what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 21, where James talks about receiving the word implanted, or the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. See, it is the word of God that saves this evening. Amen. It is the word of God that changes people. It's not the messenger who brings the word that saves, but it is the implanted word of God. In other words, God's word is planted in our heart, and it will grow. God's word is a seed that grows in the heart of man. And when we receive it, God sets up his throne in our heart. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. Peter goes on to say, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word, or this is the gospel, which was preached to you. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Romans 1:16, but it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. See, it's too often that we get in discussions with non-believers, and the conversation is based on opinions and philosophies of life. And it happens to me all the time. See, while these conversations might have benefits, the fact is, only by pointing people to the Word of God can people receive the salvation that God offers them today. See, as Christians, we must make it a priority to speak the words of God by going to the Scriptures. Amen. Peter says, whoever speaks, let him speak as it was the utterance of God. 1 Peter 4:11. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So now, in converting souls this evening, we must point people to the Scriptures. Amen. Well, what else? Well, we must open the door to everyone, to all people. See, all souls matter. Amen. See, by the time the Bereans had convinced themselves that Paul was teaching the truth, their efforts had an overflowing effect. Some were non-Jewish people. They had been touched by the gospel of Christ. They became believers. Scripture says there were Greek women and men being saved also. See, Paul did not want a church that was just full of Jewish people. Paul wanted a church that was made up of all backgrounds. See, God had gone to great lengths to tear down the walls that divide us, whether they are racial, a nationality, a gender, or age. Why? Because all souls matter this evening. Yeah, we must always remember what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he may make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. It might reconcile them both in one body to God. How? Through the cross. By it having put to death the enmity. And so although we might start with those who are close, those who are already have faith and they trust the Bible, we don't stop there. No, we must continue to reach out to people, all races, all backgrounds, bring them into the Lord's church, the church of Christ. And another thing, we must be ready. We must be ready for problems. Yes, Paul and Silas, they left Thessalonica. Why? Because of the intense opposition of the unbelieving Jews there. See, Paul and Silas went to Berea and began a great work with great results. But the jealous Jews from Thessalonica, they followed them and began to stir up trouble for Paul and Silas in Berea as well. And so we must be ready for problems. Amen. Scripture says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there likewise, agitating and stirring up the crowds. See, no matter how much good had been done, the enemy was going to cause problems. And we too, we must understand that any successes we have in the Lord's church are going to generate increased opposition to the work. Amen. Let us not be naive. to the fact that if we do the ministry right and have the right attitude while doing it, then all will go well. Well, now, do not be naive. That's why Peter says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. But he goes on to say, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So we have to be ready for problems in the church. We find in Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 22, a man, you know the story, by the name of Simon, wanted to pay money for the power of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostle's hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. That's what Peter told him. See, some people in the church of Christ, they're in the church for the wrong reason. Their heart is not right with God. And so Peter told Simon, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. See, we must face the fact this evening that Satan will work harder to challenge us, not only from the outside of the church, but from the inside as well. Jesus said in Matthew 26:46, he said, arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who persuades me is at hand. See, Jesus was persuaded by Judas, his own Jewish brethren, an apostle. But after Jesus suffered and he died on that cross and was buried and resurrected from the dead, Jesus spoke again. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go and convert souls of all nations, all people. Why? Because all souls matter. Well, how? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We must be ready for problems in the church. When God brings us success, and Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end, even to the end. And we must build on the members. We must build one another up and protect one another from danger. Amen. See, Paul had to leave Silas and Timothy in Berea. Scripture says, when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there likewise, agitating and stirring up the crowds. And then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, the scripture says. And Silas and Timothy remained there. They protected Paul. We must protect one another in this gospel endeavor. We must build on the church of Christ together. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Paul goes on to say, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I lay a foundation, and another is building upon it. But Paul says, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Converting souls matter. As I close, we need each other in this work for the Lord. See, there is a sense of urgency. Yes, saving souls has a sense of urgency. We must count on each other. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:12-16, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the one body, though they be many, are one body. So also is Christ. Paul says, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, or into one church, because the church is the body. Whether they be Jews or Greeks, whether they slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. That's what Paul said. Paul said, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. See, God wants to add more members to the body of Christ. He wants more members in his church. And so we must work together to please our God this evening. Why? Because converting souls matter. We must count on each other. We must build on the members. We must be ready for problems. We must open the door to all people because all souls matter. We must point people to the scriptures, and we need to find people who are close, people who are searching, people who are ready to be converted. Converting souls matters this evening. And so if you're on the line, we hope and pray that if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, that you will obey the gospel this evening. Jesus invites you to come to him. How do I come? You come by faith, knowing that Jesus completed his mission to Jerusalem, where he was brutally beaten and whipped and suffered 6 long hours hanging on that tree. And he died on that cross for the whole world and was buried in a borrowed tomb. And he rose on the third day. But what happened after that? Well, after that, the Bible says he walked the earth for 40 more days, he was teaching and preaching salvation. And then he ascended into heaven. Jesus will return for his faithful followers. Therefore, if you're not a Christian, Jesus wants you to hear the gospel and believe it and repent and confess before men that he is the Son of the living God and be buried in water, buried in that liquid tomb of baptism, then rising from that water to walk in a newness of life. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then once you are saved this evening, you begin your walk in the newness of life. You become new, born again, born free, free from sin. You will be in Christ, and Jesus will add you to his church, the church of Christ. And so as we prepare to sing a song of encouragement, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you have searched the scriptures and found them to be true about the Church of Christ, and you are subject to the invitation, hey, listen, Jesus wants to add you to his church. Just press 5-star. Just press 5-star now. And we will take your confession, and we will baptize you ASAP, as soon as possible. And if you are a member of the Lord's church and you have a need to make a confession, make your confession. Press 5-star as we sing a song of encouragement. Please come to Jesus now. That's my lesson. May God bless you all.